From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Hello. Salutations. I'm Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we're going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
So, where are we at, Storm? Let's see. This is show 025, 25th show.
And it's
sound
January.
Effect of crowd and bells ringing and stuff.
Oh, really? It's a big, yeah, like if this were baseball cards, this would be a player of some, but not entirely significant importance.
Would be like a Dan Quisenberry.
No, I think Quisenberry would be on a 50. Like, if you're on 100, you were some big stuff. 50, still pretty big. 25, you know, you wouldn't be some scrub.
Yeah. Hold on, I got a printer here that's making a lot of noise. I'm going to reach over and unplug it here.
I can't hear it. Anyway, today is Monday evening, January the 26th, 2009, you were wondering, or if you're a future person.
Well, for posterity's sake.
If future person is listening to past us.
That's right. It's a rarity insofar as it's a show that we're actually recording and releasing on the night that we usually intend to release them.
Yeah, I'm a little confused right now.
Yeah, what the heck? Why don't you run down the big board?
Yes, I see that we have 116 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Is that count correct as of today? I added a few.
It is. I had miscounted last week. I credited more minions than actually were.
Ah.
But now they are correct, and one more.
Uh-huh. Okay. Excellent. So there's that.
The server fund is holding steady at 47%.
Lovely.
And no new progress on Whedon Watch, and also no new progress on McCartney Watch.
Yes. Poochie Corner.
Poochie Corner. Just run down. We put a poll up after our last podcast about the length of it. Obviously, we don't stick to 5 to 10 minutes on average.
Yeah. But nor did we ever really intend to.
No, but...
But we had, you know, when we were starting the podcast, one of our founding principles was to not make it too long, because there's far too many podcasts out there that go an hour and a half or 3 hours or however the heck long they tend to go. And it's just ridiculous to try and expect somebody to listen to that much, or to think that you're going to be interesting for 2 hours straight.
So we decided.
At least we. I mean, you know, maybe you would be.
No,
we wouldn't be.
No, we wouldn't. But we weren't sure how you felt, and so we asked you, or at least a good portion of you. And it seems like, you know, if we've got enough to talk about that, you know, if it stretches to a half an hour, most of you will still listen. Maybe some of you will tune out. But I think that's a new way to go. Is we'll still be aiming for that, you know, 20-ish minute.
Yeah,
area,
something bite-sized, something long enough for a lunch break or for walking the dog, or, you know, a waltz on your treadmill.
Yeah, you know, one of those days.
Yeah.
So that's Poochie. Thank you. Thank you for helping guide us in this little, weird enterprise that we're on.
Thank you, peoples.
Okay, fresh. It's time for the fresh.
Time for the fresh. Well, we just got off a spectacular weekend tour in Seattle and Portland.
Amazingly good time. Travel a little difficult, but we're just long.
Bit.
And the 1 hour sleep thing on the way to the airport, driving
we,
from Portland
to
Seattle.
Always being the penny and dollar conscious folks that we are, this tour started in Seattle and then went down 3 hour drive down to Portland. And the flights were just way cheaper to fly back home from Seattle rather than do an open routing home from Portland. So we did a 3 hour overnight drive back to Seattle through what turned out to be snow and rain.
Not like a blizzard, but enough.
No,
that
but just, you know, annoying.
You don't want to be zipping down at 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, yeah. Enough that you were worried the road might freeze at any point, although luckily it never did. And the kind that's really annoying to try and drive through. Especially at 3 in the morning. We actually got in about 5:15, and our flight was at 8:45, meaning we had to wake up at about What do we end up waking up 6:45?
Well, I'm calling boring. They don't want to. They don't feel bad for us.
Well,
they
no, I feel care. Like bitching. And since they've given us the leeway, I'm going to bitch.
Well, no. The leeway was for being interesting.
They said fair
we can
enough.
Go all day.
Well,
if
the
we're
short the short version being you,
a Sasquatch
you're fearless,
came out you're, of the woods.
Your fearless leaders
pooped on the car.
Suffered a bit for their art, but you know that's the way the cookie crumbles, and we certainly. Had a good enough weekend to make up for it. So thank you, Seattle and Portlanders.
And this was actually one of my topics was
okay.
The crowds in Seattle and Portland, and really anywhere that we travel and do the show with Jonathan Colton.
Lately, especially, yeah.
Lately, it seems like there's always been an army of geeks out there who tune into what Jonathan does, and to some extent us as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now it seems to be forming a real, like, physical standing army.
Like an agitated throng.
Agitated, distractible, our
like a good kind shouting. Of agitated.
Yeah, right, exactly. And if you've never seen our show or Jonathan's or when we do the whole thing, it is, it's very energetic and there's an almost Rocky Horror dimension to it where
yeah, there's sometimes no, more welcomed than others.
Yeah. Like we were not, neither act is particularly into having a very rigid performance where there's a solid wall set up and, you know, we are the performer and you are the audience, although we are the performer and audience respectively.
Yeah, but not like capital letters.
So I just thought that's very interesting. It's almost like a movement.
Yeah, I was mentioning some of it actually on stage, but it's interesting to notice, this is the extent that I have a topic this week, the variations of geekery that are out there. You know, the colors of the geek rainbow, if you will. But it is true. I mean, you know, you picture, you know, 10 years ago you say the word geek and everybody would probably picture sort of a,
right,
you know, the Poindexter,
gangly looking,
yeah, horn rim glasses, tape on them, the standard stereotype, geek, so to speak. But there's really a panoply. Is that the right word? Is that even a word?
No, panoply is a word.
A panoply of geekosity out there. There are certainly the pasty. Don't see the sun much computer pocket protector type geeks out there. They're a serious minority, though. There's a lot of ironic t-shirt wearing, bigoteed, shaved head, tech support, but with social skills geeks.
See, I think what it comes down to is being a geek is you're compulsive in some way, but you're constructively compulsive.
Yes.
It's not just, you know, navel gazing or, you know, flat out doing something that people find annoying. It's that you have applied some tendency you have into doing something cool.
Yep.
Or expressing yourself in some neat way that you do want to communicate, just that you do it a little differently. Mm-hmm. I know we do, you know.
Here's a stretch, but I promise I'll bring it back around.
Okay.
Much like how, you know, when someone says, I like guitar music, nobody ever says that. But if somebody were to say, I like guitar music, uh-huh. you would find that person ridiculous because the guitar is not a type. It's not a genre. It's a medium.
Right. Which is why
there can be all kinds
of music
played upon a guitar.
Yeah.
And in much the same way, geekery is no longer a genre unto itself. It's really more sort of a variation on a type, I guess. It's a medium of its own, if you will. Like we were noting how in Portland, for example, there was a high percentage of pierced geeks.
Yeah.
Sort of goth, like a goth geek element.
Yep.
And it's just become this thing that you adapt into your given persona as opposed to a persona in and of itself.
Yeah, it's more how you are expressing what you enjoy, such as athletes.
Exactly.
You have people who are just into sports, but then you have sports geeks who may participate in sports or they may not, but they have a great love of it and they express it in ways such as, you know, a classic one is card collecting or
fantasy football or fantasy sport league.
And just take it to such a great degree because they have minds that can do that. And it's not just about me throw a ball, you know.
Or maybe it is. Ball is maybe the front runner for title of this particular episode so far.
And that brings me to another one. It was actually something I had under Poochie Corner, but the Geek Tournament is sort of fleshing
Geek
this
Madness,
out.
Yeah,
yeah, our Geek Madness tournament, and that. Of course, I'm not surprised because we took it seriously from the outset.
Yeah.
But that people really are judging people by all different measures. But like people really do want someone to rise up to become the front person. And I have an idea on how we can extend this.
Okay.
And I was going to talk about this after the podcast, but I think all you folks out there should hear about it, too.
Have a peek behind the looking glass, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and tell us if we're off here, if we're out of our depth.
Uh-huh.
But once the tournament is over, I think it's been a really great way to kind of coalesce what are the good things about being a geek and what makes for a good role model if, say, you're a young geek and you want to harness that power for awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Why not we put together, in consultation with some other folks, and I have some in mind, to put together a Fortune 100 type list, like the Geek 100.
Hmm.
Or maybe like a Geek 50 that are actual real living people that...
A nice polarizing ordered list, you mean?
Well, not polarizing.
Not polarizing, but something to stimulate discussion and argument.
Yeah, and you can have one list that includes like the all-time list, which would include only real people, but living or dead.
Living or dead, right.
And then just a fictional list.
Right. So you could include someone like Lincoln.
Yeah. If in consultation, it seems like he's really was a geek, then he can go on there and you can have the Carl Sagans as well as people who are up and coming today. So that's just a thought. Just want to put that out
there. Quite a project you have in mind.
Yeah. Yeah. So I have a few other topics written down.
Sure.
Let me give you the Jeopardy-style headings here.
Uh-huh.
Red-faced Snoopy. All right. Look, Ma, hands. Tin grins are in. And what do you mean, Flash Gordon approaching?
Let's do Flash Gordon approaching.
All right. Flash Gordon approaching has to do with the fact that you obviously know this, Paul, but... I've been learning to do Flash, as in Adobe Flash. And that's all well and good. The fruits of that will come out as they may. But I sort of feel like I've been tricked into learning programming. And
whoops, I'm a programmer now.
Yeah, I'm like concerned I'm going to become the anti-Jonathan Colton.
Ah,
I
see.
Because I do have an obsessive side. Mm-hmm. And, I can't do something like this just a little bit.
Yep.
And the animation part, that's all, pretty clear. That's not much different from doing PowerPoint, which I love. But the part where you actually have to do the interactive form stuff, like click this and do that, some of it's automated. But if you wanted to do exactly what you want to do, you have to do like stuff with objects and functions and all of this stuff that was heretofore unknown.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice little journey. Any advice is welcome. So
tell Storm how to be better Flash.
I want to be good Flash man. CS4, if you're keeping track. And thank you to Spiff for making it possible. Got to put that out there.
Big ups to Spiff.
So that was all. Well, that's
sure.
All.
Throw another one. Storm's Choice. Topic.
Red-faced Snoopy.
Oh, by the way, the 10-minute mark was about 4 minutes ago.
Thank you.
Red-faced Snoopy.
Red-faced Snoopy. This is something I mentioned in the van like 2 weeks ago, and you said, oh, save that for the podcast. Don't tell me. And this has to do with why I don't like dancing.
Okay.
So... I don't know. You seemed interested in it before.
No, I didn't mean that okay derisively.
Oh, okay. Okay, so I've been told I'm a good dancer. You know, not like, you know, doing...
You're no Denny Terrio.
Right. Or a Gene Kelly or, you know, anybody. But that I dance well, but I don't enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I know I'm doing it right, so to speak.
Right.
When I was, I guess, 7 years old, one of the pastimes in the neighborhood kids, we'd all get together in this one family's garage, and it would be like a little DJ hour where it was David Matthews, not that Dave Matthews, would be like the DJ, and he'd play songs, and everybody would dance.
Huh.
And it wasn't the first or second time. It was probably the third time that this went on.
Because that is the charm.
It is. And in stories, things always happen the third time.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, you know, feeling the music. Like, suddenly I got it. I understood what dancing was all about. You know, right. my Billy Elliot moment.
It was like electricity.
And I closed my eyes and I just let the music move me. And what I didn't realize until I opened my eyes, because the rest of the room had fallen silent, was I had been staring straight up at the garage ceiling and spinning around and around and around. And I stopped and I opened my eyes, and the cute girl in the neighborhood, you remember her.
Oh, yeah, of course I remember her.
She was laughing her butt off at me. And not
butt
in that
on the floor.
Yeah, not in that, oh, that's cute way, but in that, oh, that little kid, well, not little, that kid with the big nose was spinning around and around staring
at
the
ceiling.
If the
term douchebag had been in vogue at the time, you would have been called a douchebag by her.
Major douchebag. And to this day, I don't enjoy dancing.
Huh.
So there's a little peek into
there you
the
go. So dancing
psyche
for you at that point basically meant exhibit some autism behaviors.
Yeah, one of the earlier manifestations of my spectrumness.
That's great. It's funny you mention that, because I do not enjoy dancing at all either, and I have been told that in the same way, that I'm not a bad dancer. I don't have any training. I'm no Twyla Tharp. That's the only name that popped in my head, even though that's not the right name I was looking for. But, you know, in much the same way, I move reasonably well. I can keep time. And as long as I stick to, like, the white man overbite and the little jumpy back and forthy kind of stuff, I'm good. But I get no joy whatsoever about going out on a dance floor, unless it's, like, slow dancing with my wife. I mean, that's a whole different thing.
Oh, yeah. But, well, that's, you know, that's something else entirely.
And it's funny you mention that, because I just a couple of weeks back listened to Stephen Fry, the British comedian raconteur, has a series of podcasts he calls the Podgroms. And one of them was about that very fact of how he personally loathes dancing as well. And
oh, yeah. That's
so basically, the upshot, I guess, is that we are just like Stephen Fry.
In every way.
Ergo, we are Stephen Fry's equals.
Yeah.
And if you have not listened to it, please go seek it out. It's free on iTunes. Nobody loves the English language or does more wonderful things with it than Stephen Fry.
Well, here's a question. Tying in this dancing discussion and Stephen Fry and our geek discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The subject is dancing geeks. Who are the geeks of the dance world? Now, we know there's Emily, who did this awesome, energetic dance.
Oh, the Code Monkey dance for Jonathan, on YouTube.
But I'm talking in, like, the public eye, like, sort of in the broader media. Is there, like, a geeky type of dancing? I mean, there's the Thriller dance thing. That's sort of
a geeky type of dance. Yes, the Thriller dance, when it's done in, like, a wedding reception.
Yeah.
I would call that a geeky dance. There's,
But, like, there's nothing geeky about the Macarena.
No,
you know?
It's lame, but I wouldn't say it's geeky.
Right, line dancing isn't necessarily geeky. We should come up with, like, a geeky line dance.
We really should. I have no idea what it would involve, but I like the concept.
Well, that's, you know,
Maybe that's something everyone out there can suggest is some steps for the geeky line dance.
Right. Wave your arms uncontrollably.
Yeah. The big signature move will be stand and look up at the ceiling and spin around in circles. Now, when you were spinning, were your arms at your sides? Were they up? Were they out straight? What were you doing? Do you even remember?
I do remember.
He remembers every painful moment of it.
And I'll tell you what they did. When you spin sort of mid-speed and you are relaxed and your mm-hmm. arms are at your side, they will naturally sort of wave up and down as your momentum goes.
Uh-huh.
So sort of like, you know, one of those cheesy carnival rides that your parents put you on when you were 4 years old, where the plane sort of slowly went
You were the tilt-a-whirl.
I was tilt-a-whirl boy. Yeah, I was. It felt great. It felt great.
I bet it did.
You should try it.
It was the moment you lost your innocence.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Too many ways.
Yeah. Let's see. Any other topics of a few minutes length you might want to get into?
You know, I like where we've gone with this. I have some other topics, but I don't think they would go anywhere interesting at this point.
We've stuck around the theme, so to speak.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, after all of our talk of we're going as long as we want, this show looks like it's going to wind up a few minutes shorter than our last few.
Well, you know, the point wasn't to make it longer. It was just, you know, it was
as long as need be.
Right.
So, well, with that said, let me say that we're off for a couple of weekends. We get started again. Valentine's Day weekend, February 13th and 14th, we'll be in Burlington, Iowa, and Clear Lake, Iowa, respectively, with a great other musical comedian, Henry Phillips.
Oh yeah, I love working with Henry.
Henry is great. Then the 20th of February, we're at the Birchmere, home territory, with Jonathan. I believe that show is close to selling out.
Oh yeah.
And then at the Ram's Head Tavern in Annapolis, Maryland, that show is sold out. And then we have shows in Madison, Wisconsin, Minneapolis, and Chicago at the end of February.
If you would like to become a member of the Paul and Storm Minion Brigade, please go to paulandstorm.com. There's a podcast page where you can find out about that.
Yes. Oh, we also, a few people have asked in via email, I might as well mention it. We have a brand new Minion t-shirt.
Right.
It doesn't make you a Minion by buying it. It's more of sort of a Minion commemorative t-shirt. Anybody can own one. Right now, we only have them physically available at our shows, but due to my own laziness, by the end of the week, they will be available on our Cafe Press store.
And current members of the Brigade of Minions, fear not. We are going to do something. There will be something that only you will be able to have.
We're working on some sort of item or thing or things that that only official Minions will receive, and they will receive them for free.
A physical something that represents that you went through the effort to jump through our little hoop.
Yes. So I guess that's about it.
Except
that being said, unless you can think of anything else, Storm.
Just that I'm Storm.
And I'm Paul.
And we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average. As always, be a great day.
And go do things.
Hey, I know that song. Did you guys know my friend Maureen Amsterdam wrote words for it? They go like this.
So you think that you've got trouble, well, trouble's a bubble. So tell old Mr. Trouble to get lost, get lost. Why not hold your head up high and stop crying, start trying. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. When you find the joy of living is loving and giving, you'll be there when the winning dice are tossed. A smile is just a frown that's turned upside down. So smile and that frown will defrost. And don't forget to keep your fingers crossed. Yeah.